love, it makes my temperature rise like a summer with a thousand.
Welcome to the City of Goleta Planning Commission's first meeting. Happy New Year to everyone. First meeting of January 2011. Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Madam Clerk, would you like to call the roll?
Yes. Commissioner Daniels?
Present.
Commissioner Stapleman? Commissioner Wallace?
Here.
Vice Chair Sheeler?
Present.
Chair Solomon?
Here, thank you. At this time, we'll open our public forum, and the public shall have an opportunity to comment on any non-agenda item relevant to the jurisdiction of the city. It's requested that each speaker complete a speaker request form and submit it to the recording clerk. Madam Clerk, have we any speaker slips for this evening?
Chair Solomon, no. No speaker slips.
All right, thank you. Well, then, we'll begin with the approval of our minutes of our meeting on December 13th.
Move to approve.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
None opposed. Thank you. Passes 4-0. Our next item is a public hearing on the Elwood Mesa Well Abandonment Project. And Madam Clerk, would you like to read the item into the record?
Yes, Chair Solomon. Item B1 is 10-047-DP, Elwood Mesa Well Abandonment Project. Located at City of Goleta, Elwood Open Space, APNs 079-210-013-014-015-024-050 and APN 079-210-051.
Thank you. And our planner, Ms. Ann Wells, is and Mr. Dan Yemichek have a presentation for us this evening.
Thank you. Good evening, Chair Solomon and commissioners. As you know, tonight's public hearing is about the Elwood Mesa Well Abandonment Program. The Well Abandonment Project is part of the environmental programs that we manage in the Advanced Planning Division of the Planning and Environmental Services Department. And just for background and context, that environmental programs are generally focused in the city's open space that are publicly owned. And some examples are the butterfly docent program out in Elwood Mesa, some restoration projects on the Mesa and also at Lake Los Carneros, some trail improvements at Lake Los Carneros. And just recently, we kicked off two projects in our environmental programs. One is the citywide wildland fire plan, and another is a butterfly habitat management plan out on Elwood Mesa. And these projects are funded through project mitigation funds, through the general fund, through grants, so various sources of funding are used to implement our environmental programs. And Dan Nemechek's primary responsibility is to implement some of these programs. And the project that's before you tonight addresses a series of abandoned wells, also called orphan wells, on the Elwood Mesa. And the city knowingly purchased the Elwood Mesa since incorporation, or knowingly purchased the Mesa knowing that it had the wells on the site. And since the purchase, we've undergone a series of studies and developed a work program. We retained a consultant, Geo Campbell, and a representative from that firm is here tonight. And we've also conducted some environmental permitting and some environmental review. And that's what we have before you tonight is that project and some resolutions and decisions that you have. and I will turn the presentation over to Dan Nemechek as he is the project manager. And I would like to also just point out that aside from our consultant, we also have a couple representatives from the State Department of Oil and Gas, and Dan can point those out them out to you when we when he starts his presentation. So thank you for this opportunity.
And I'm going to interrupt here real briefly and let the record show that Commissioner Stapleman is now present and walked in at the very beginning of this item.
Thank you, Ms. Miles. Madam Chair, Commissioners, this evening's presentation will proceed with a brief overview of the purpose, background, project description, CEQA review, and our recommendations. The purpose of this evening's project is primarily hazard remediation and public safety improvements. We're moving forward with fulfilling Comstock City land exchange obligations and to bring the property into regulatory compliance with local and state regulations. As you can see, the well amendment work will actually occur on the Elwood open space, not the previously identified Santa Barbara Shores portion. It's limited to the open space area. Some brief background. The Elwood oil field was discovered in the late 1920s. On the Santa Barbara Shores property, Elwood 1, Doty 4, and Doty 5 were drilled underneath the Elwood Mesa, the now Elwood Mesa Spurling Preserve. The wells were plugged in 1935 and between 1935 and 1951. Here's an image of the Elwood oil field in the 30s. As you can see on the midsection on the right, that's the current location of the Sandpiper Golf Course. Santa Barbara Shores Park is labeled at the lower right-hand side of the screen, and there was a fair amount of oil activity in the area. Oil production eventually shifted offshore in the 60s, and the property was eventually sold. Subsequent landowners began exploring options related to residential development. Numerous projects were retained. Ultimately, one came in known as Monarch Point, and during the course of that project, five water wells were drilled on that property, and one monitoring well related to that housing project due diligence. Ultimately, a complex land exchange was occurred in which 36 acres were transferred to the Comstock Homes, currently the Blessed Sandpiper, and 137 acres were transferred to the city's open space, increasing the net city-owned open space in the Mesa to 230 acres. As part of the environmental impact report for the Comstock Homes and the Elwood Mesa Open Space Plan, mitigation measures required reabandonment of three oil wells, destruction of five water wells, and one groundwater monitoring well. The three oil wells, we were advised by the Department of Conservation, Division of Oil, Gas, and Geothermal Resources, they would like this done to bring the wells to current standards if necessary. The five water wells were required for Division of Water Resources requirements. And the groundwater monitoring well was as well. The groundwater monitoring well will also satisfy Santa Barbara County Fire Protection District requirements to close an existing mitigation unit case that they have on the books. A remediation fund was established to pay for this work, for a large portion of the work, and with the city. And the city moved forward with initiating an RFP process to develop the draft work plan in 2006. Ultimately, the draft work plan moved forward for a final work plan, which was approved by the City Council for the sake of permit processing in April of 2010, with a contract being awarded to Campbell Geoinc in June of 2010 to move forward. I want to start off with our site access plan and just kind of give you a visual of the well location. Site access will actually occur through via the main entrance at Santa Barbara Shores Drive to each of the different sites. A primary staging area adjacent to water well number three will occur in this section right here, and I have a more detailed map which we will cover here shortly. All access will occur via the 700-foot paved area and primarily unpaved existing access roads. There are a couple of exceptions. Access to Doty number four, which we will cover, will be via mode area of non-native grasses to ensure we do not disturb additional resources, and we will be the accessing water well number two per direction from the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. We will be driving across an existing native grassland which has been folded into our restoration efforts post-project completion. go briefly into the project description for each of these. The historic oil wells probably will be, initial stage will be excavation, a 15 by 15 by 5 foot deep pit will be excavated at each of the oil well sites, totaling approximately 35 cubic yards, with the center being approximately 5 feet by 5 feet by 8 feet deep total. That soil will be taken and stockpiled within fenced work areas. At that time, testing and assessment will occur. The exposed areas will be tested for gas, and once deemed acceptable to move forward by the Department of Conservation, the wellhead will be exposed and assessed. The existing concrete plug, if necessary, will be drilled to 30 feet below ground surface. A new cement plug will then be poured. Any void space beneath the expected cement plug area will be filled with bentonite. Once this is done, a gas leak test will be completed and a new steel plate will be welded on top. Any debris associated with this will eventually be hauled to a recycling facility, and the project will then be backfilled in 2 foot lifts to a 90% compaction rate under the supervision of the project geologist. At that point, the item will be surveyed and marked. For areas at Elwood number 1 and Doty number 5, they will be left with a depression to facilitate wetland restoration efforts for vernal pools once the project is complete. On the screen, you can see Elwood number 1. This is the existing well casing that is out there. You can see the concrete has been cracked, and debris has actually come into the well. It's approximately 3 to 4 feet deep. On the upper left-hand sections of each of the photos, you can actually see some of the existing pilings that were there previously. Those will actually be removed to 3 to 5 feet below ground surface and covered and left as part of the restoration effort. Here's a detailed map of Elwood number 1. As you can see on the far line, the perimeter lines will actually be fenced in work areas, and we will cover that under site mitigation and monitoring. But all of the work equipment will actually be directed via a biologist to these fenced work areas, and they will be locked in to do their work to avoid damage to additional on-site environmental resources. Here's Doty number 4. Here's the work plan for Doty number 4 as well. Here's Doty number 5. This is actually a depression. It was marked as a wetland and actually mapped as a vernal pool in 2004. We have done habitat assessments, contracted habitat assessments, and have been working with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, and we are currently in the process of conducting a wet season survey for listed brachiopod species. Once these are done, these will be done post wet season, a dry season survey will be done, and should nothing be listed, we move forward. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service has also agreed that should we indeed find listed species, that we would be allowed to move forward under a recovery permit. Our existing restoration plan has been designed such to facilitate that happening. Of note, I'd like to highlight some of the area around Doty number 5. The existing blufftop trail will actually be an area that is actually fenced, and that trail will be temporarily moved to the south. Water wells. Somewhat similar process. Water wells, excavation, 8 by 10 by 6 feet. They will come in, they'll remove the steel sleeve, they'll cut the PVC casing about approximately 5 feet below the ground surface. They'll fill with an inert type of material such as pea gravel to a minimum of 25 feet deep. They'll pour a cement seal surface on there, seal it up, and then as similar to the oil wells, they'll backfill to 90% compaction rate. No soil assessment is actually required at the water wells. And we'll come to soil assessment here at the end here. Here are a couple of photos of the 5 water wells. This is actually well number 3 on the right, 4 on the left. And here is a detail of water well number 3. I've included this as it's also the location of the temporary staging area for all the equipment coming on site, as well as the equipment washout area. So as equipment goes to each of the different work sites and comes back into this area, it will be cleaned and washed off in this area at that specific location, and all material will actually be captured and taken off-site and disposed of properly. Also of note is if you look at the bottom portion, there will be another temporary trail detour around the fenced area at that location. Waterwell number 2 is also of note as it demonstrates or delineates, the access route to Waterwell number 2 around an existing vernal pool. And in the upper left-hand corner shows the proposed native grassland restoration site. The groundwater monitoring well, this is the simplest of the wells currently moving forward for abandonment or destruction. It will basically come in, overdrill the existing well casing and remove all materials. The borehole in the ground will be filled with bentonite chips and hydrated, allowing to form a seal. They'll restore it to grade and remove all trash and debris. Of note, this is actually located at the base of the Elwood main site. For those of you who have been out there looking at the butterflies recently, you'll have noticed a 2.5-foot well that's actually marked out there. That will disappear. Here are the couple of photos. The three bollards that are located on the left will actually be removed. A truck on the back of a large pickup will actually come in with a drill rig attached to it, come in, do the work, and that work is actually expected to occur be completed within 1 day to a day and a half. So it's in a really quick in and out. Here's the access area. Site restoration. Disturbed areas of existing native grasslands are being restored at a ratio of 3-1, which basically totals 0.15 acres. That'll be in the area adjacent to Waterwell number 2, just north of the access road. Wetland restoration is being required for the areas at Elwood number 1, as well as the Doty 5 location. The final wetland restoration site will occur at Doty number 5. Will be completed post-construction. Major policies. The project was deemed consistent with existing general plan and coastal land use policies. Protecting environmental resources are concerned, protection of existing habitat areas, protection of wetlands in the coastal zone, and trail access. Many of these policies were really found consistent due to conditions of approval included, which we'll cover next. The primary being timing of work, fencing of the work areas to minimize destruction of on-site environmental resources, and ensuring compliance with requirements related to stormwater, noise, et cetera, and we'll be moving forward to theirs now. So site access, each of the numbers to the left there delineate the condition of approval associated with it, but we've covered the primary with site access, emissions, noise, biology, stormwater and erosion, and cultural. I would like to note on the cultural section specifically, we did the project consultant moved forward with additional cultural resource studies. A expanded phase one study was completed to look at previously unstudied area adjacent to Waterwell number 3. Ultimately, it was determined that it was not significant per our CEQA environmental thresholds criteria. However, the project's been conditioned such that any materials be found, work will be stopped, and a on-site archaeologist and GMASH monitor will be present during excavation at that site. One additional item relates to soil testing. The areas at Doty number 5 and Doty number 4 and Elwood number 1 stockpiles will be tested, and any items in those areas that are deemed to exceed county fire requirements related to non-hazardous contaminated waste will be removed from the site. Preliminary testing at Doty number 4 and Doty number 5 indicate that they do not exceed the thresholds. Therefore, it's expected only off-site hauling of material will occur at Elwood number 1, with clean fill being brought in from the local Santa Barbara quarry. CEQA. The project has been deemed categorically exempt per CEQA guidelines sections 15307, which consists of actions by regulatory agencies for protection of natural resources, and 15330, minor actions to prevent, minimize, stabilize, mitigate, or eliminate the release of threat or release of hazardous substances. This project has, we've been working with numerous external agencies to secure permitting for this project. And I'll briefly go through each of this list. The Fire, Santa Barbara County Fire Protection District, they've been supervising the monitoring well destruction. They actually approved a permit in 2005. They recently updated and approved that permit in 2010. The Santa Barbara County Air Pollution Control District has issued an exemption permit for this project, a conditional exemption permit. California Coastal Commission, upon approval of this project, should this project be approved, it will be forwarded to the California Coastal Commission for a coastal development permit. The Division of Oil, Gas, and Geothermal Resources, a notice of intent will be filed with that agency by their contractor to move this project forward. The Regional Water Quality Control Board, per consultation with them, determined that no additional permit would be required. California Department of Fish and Game reviewed the project. They determined that no permit was required. The U.S. Army Corps of Engineers actually came out to the site. We've consulted with them. They've determined that no additional permit is required. And the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service has agreed to a no-take for the primary portions of the project, with the exception of DOTI number 5, which will be moving forward on once testing is completed. Our schedule, key milestones. Project permitting has been occurring since April of last year. We're moving forward to have this completed in May of 2011. In May, we will begin hopefully mobilizing for this project to go out and actually install the fenced enclosures around each of the work sites. The project biologist, working with our consultant, will actually be conducting raptor surveys in May to determine if raptors are present, should they not be present, we'll be moving forward then. Otherwise, we'll be moving forward in June or in the June time frame or in a manner that is approved by the project biologist. The work is expected to occur through June through September of 2011. Once started, it's anticipated that all work will be the actual well abandonment and destruction work will take approximately 6 weeks. And then we will move forward with the next phase, which is the habitat restoration and maintenance and monitoring program, which will occur October 2011 and be completed through October 2016. Of note, the Department of Conservation, Division of Oil, Gas, and Geothermal Resources, DOGGR, is actually moving forward with the well abandonment, specific well abandonment tasks under funding from their organization. So they'll be utilizing state dollars to complete that work and actually move forward with them in that role. We have to have this work completed, at least the oil well abandonment tasks, by June 30th of this year. And that concludes. We move forward here. Staff's recommendations. I am available for any additional questions, as is Steve Campbell, the city's consultant. I know that was a lot of information to throw at you all at once, but happy to answer any questions you may have.
Thank you so much, Mr. Nemechek. I'm sure that we will have questions for you, but we also have a speaker slip from a gentleman, and I would like to invite him to come to the microphone.
I am David Sangster, and I live in the Elwood area. I am obviously in favor of the restoration project, but I'm also interested in the fate of the 30 or 40 olive trees, minus one, that are on the Elwood Mesa and are not mentioned or mapped in any of the reports. I did a word survey, and I can't see anything mentioning the olive trees. You know, they were mapped by GPS, by UCSB, and clearly visible on a lot of aerial photographs. Also in the report, they're also visible, you know, in the report, the site photo on page 5, water well number 5, looking east. Can you bring that up? No, the water well. There's page 5 of the Campbell site photos. Okay, well, if you look at that, you can see the old water well fence. Behind there is 3 olive trees. So, the grassland restoration project removed 1 olive tree and a couple smaller ones without any public notice. And since they're not mentioned in, or mapped in the report, you know, any their fate or any of the olive trees that might be impacted by the project is basically not known. They provide foraging and night roosting for birds, and also small mammals seek shelter in them. And their, their agricultural value should be considered, although they're not native species. We need some recognition of these olive trees and, you know, whether they're going to be preserved or removed or impacted by any of the perimeters of the project. One other concern is that there were other mapped hazardous soil areas mapped in the previous projects that were never started. I'm not too sure if any of that is going to be addressed or taken care of, but there are several, like I think three or four sites of fairly deep contaminated soils not associated with the wells that were mapped, and for a development project they would have been taken care of, but I'm not, been maybe for a open space they don't have to be, but I just want to make sure that, you know, they're addressed. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Zangster, for paying such close attention.
Can you see the water well number 5, or the view looking east, not west? West, you can see maybe one olive and eucalyptus, but the one to the east, there's 3 olive trees right close to the, they're in the picture.
Commissioners, this is in attachment 5 of the staff report. The pictures begin on page 149. The numbering stops at 148 and is not attached to the pictures, and then picks up again after the pictures. So there's not a number assigned to the water well 5, but those pictures do begin on page 149.
Ms. Wells, would you like to talk to this point?
Sure. Thank you, Chair Solomon and Commissioners. The concern was about the olive trees on the site, and this project only pertains to the particular wells that Mr. Nemechek had reviewed with you, and the footprint, those very specific footprints and access routes that he reviewed with you. And within those, the footprint, which for each of the well sites is very, very narrow, the vegetation within the footprint will be removed. And the restoration will occur with native species, because that's a requirement in both the management plan for Elwood Mesa and also in our general plan for that particular open space resource. So olive trees are non-native, so they wouldn't be replanted as part of that effort. That said, those olive trees, I don't believe, are within the work. They're not in within the work footprint, so they won't be touched as part of this project.
So no destruction of or removal of olive trees is associated with this project?
That's correct. And in regards to the contaminated soil, again, this project is focused on the wells that we discussed tonight, and are limited to just that, and we're aware of other issues out on the mesa, management issues, you know, like the cement debris that's out there, some barbed wire, and those are going to be part of future ongoing efforts to maintain the open space area. But these were considered the highest ranking public risk.
The other that you mentioned, the cement debris, barbed wire, and so forth, would those be taken care of under a maintenance budget? And if so, would they be occurring within the next fiscal calendar year?
And that's correct. And some of the barbed wire is removed as part of our normal maintenance practices. It's a larger effort, and we're aware of it. We're working on different grant funding sources, et cetera, to address things like the barbed wire. So again, it's just part of the long-term vision of the open space and improving the quality of the open space resource.
So to go back to Mr. Stangster's concern, the any hazardous soils, they are mapped, and they are part of the city's work plan as far as dealing with that is concerned?
We don't have a specific work plan for the contaminated soils. We're aware of it as part of the disclosures that were made to us during the land exchange. So that's the extent of it, though. When you evaluate the risks, that was done in the environmental impact report for the land exchange, did not rank those risks with any kind of urgency to remediate.
I see. Thank you. Well, at this point, I'd like to ask commissioners to. I'm inviting questions.
The areas of contamination, are they basically petroleum product or?
I'm actually going to introduce Mr. Steve Campbell to address that question. Thank you.
I think I'm on here. Yes, I am. Madam Chair, members of the Commission, Steve Campbell, Campbell Geo. The question about contaminated soil, it is petroleum-based. There's been an extensive amount of assessment that has occurred over the years. Under the supervision of Santa Barbara County Fire. Santa Barbara County Fire has reviewed that assessment and has approved the limited remedial action, which is going to be associated with any soil that's generated by the oil well abandonment. And so, in other words, because it's the anticipated site use is passive open space, there's not going to be any further at this time active cleanup of the contaminated soil out there. And County Fire has signed off on that proposal and that limited action at this time.
Thank you. Can I ask you one more question?
Of course. That's why I'm here.
I don't have a lot of knowledge in this, so it's the petroleum products that are there, that are in the soil, are they heavier than the soil? Do they go down into the aquifer? So eventually they would dissipate from the area, or over periods of time, if that's the case, how long about? I mean, is there any kind of idea on that? Just a little bit more clarification, because I
sure.
just don't know.
No, all good questions. It's the petroleum out there is related to the oil field development. It's been identified as what we call long chain hydrocarbon, meaning it's a bigger molecule than, say, a gasoline or a jet fuel hydrocarbon. The age of the petroleum out there has made it even closer to an asphalt, if you will, and so it's fairly immobilized. There is no true groundwater basin underlying the Elwood Mesa. At least one that's being utilized. There were water wells that were drilled, as Dan mentioned, that were intended to be used for the residential development, but water quality is real poor, and there's no other use of that groundwater in that particular geologic area. There has been no noted groundwater contamination. And I'm forgetting your other question. Oh, degradation. There are, for petroleum constituents, there are more than 100 different types of bacteria that degrade and utilize hydrocarbons as a food source. And they're ubiquitous. They're out there doing the work right now. Will they clean up the site on their own eventually? But probably not in our lifetime. But in other words, over time, the levels of contamination will continue to go down. They'll decline, they'll degrade. And so at some date in the future, there will be no more contamination.
Thank you.
Sure.
Thank you very much. Any other questions?
Not for me, for Mr. Campbell. No.
Okay. Thank you.
Great.
Okay, well then, questions for staff.
I'll jump in here with a real detailed question, good job on all that information, getting it to us. This is on page, it's 13 of your of your presentation. It's site restoration, and I was just doing the math in my head, and interestingly enough, 3-1 is divisible by the numbers you've given us. So I want to make sure we're all clear on the site restoration, what these numbers mean. Are you guys there? Okay, I appreciate that. The native grass restoration, 3-1, understood. The number, 0.15 acres, is that existing? It says existing. Okay, then it's the second one. But let's make sure the math works. So that's going to be 0.45 acres of restoration for grasslands, right? Nearly? Go ahead, please.
I'm sorry, that is actually being listed. The final will actually be 0.15 acres, which is approximately 0.005. I'm sorry, 0.05 acres.
Was the existing.
Is existing. Okay. The final will actually be 0.15.
All right. So you see where that's confusing.
Yes.
And then let's go to the next one. The 1,500 square feet of wetland restoration, has that already been multiplied by 3 also?
Short answer is yes.
All right. Thank you. Good. I'm glad we're all on the same page now. And that was it. It's neat to see those old pictures for sure, and I'm glad we're assisting and helping cleaning this up. Thanks.
Any other questions for staff?
Thank you, Chair Solomon. A few questions here. What happens after the 5-year restoration, maintenance, and monitoring plan?
Thank you, Chair Solomon, Commissioner Sheeler. The project, the area will be allowed to move forward naturally. I guess probably we will assess at those times, but nothing in official capacity at that point.
So if it looked at if the restoration might be taking effect but was still marginal after 5 years, it's kind of like we did the best we could and nature will run its course and the invasive species just might overturn the work of 5 years?
I certainly hope not. We are evaluating the mesa on a continual basis and looking for those areas where we can improve. There may be options in the future, whether it be grant funding or other direction, but at this time, those efforts will end at 5 years.
Okay. In the plan, and I can't recall the page, but it somewhere referred to irrigation. Is there some irrigation that will be necessitated out there, and how does the water get out there?
Existing, for an example, the existing native grassland, there is a irrigation system that occurred out there, and water is actually brought out to that site and irrigated. However, initial installation of the restoration effort will be done in the autumn and into the winter to take advantage of our seasonal rain pattern to establish the root system and actually move forward. So it will be provided supplemental irrigation as necessary. However, the best effort will be moving forward by establishing those areas during the autumn and winter timeframes.
On pages 34 and 71 of the staff report, it refers to a transportation management plan. Is there a transportation management plan that deals with the vertical access and public notification for pedestrians and also due to the other construction activities in the area?
Thank you for that question, Madam Chair, Commissioner Sheeler. There is, as far as a transportation management plan, as far as vehicles coming onto the site, that will actually be approved by community services. There's a requirement to submit that and have that approved. We have been in consultation with community services department. They have briefly looked over the proposed access and have provided preliminary approval, for lack of a better term. There will be an intensive notification process to the community members. We'll have information on our website. We will be doing information on the public scroll on Channel 19, as well as an additional mailed public notice advising members of the public that this will be occurring. In addition to that, there will be marked trail detour signs on the site with contact information for both myself and our consultant. Should anyone have questions or concerns, they will be able to contact us directly. But there will be mapped areas advising of the detours, and community services will be approving that final plan prior to work occurring.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. Thanks.
Well, that question addressed a number of my own, and I guess just to sort of look a little closer, as far as the signage is concerned, I think this is really good news for the community, what's happening, and there's so many people here who value that open space so much, and will be happy to know that this enhancement is being performed. So I'm just wondering, in addition to the language that describes the detours that are necessary, will the signage also explain what's actually happening at the site?
Yes.
Thank you. Excellent. Other questions? Okay. I'll close the hearing for commissioner deliberations at this point. Any comments?
Chair Solomon, real quick, if you want to just make sure that there's no more public comment, even though there are no more speaker slips before you close the public hearing.
I'd be happy to do that. Thank you, Council. Any further comment from the public? Please. Please do.
There's just a couple other issues. I've noticed there's an old abandoned car that's been there forever. And there's also close to the soil restoration site, there's a couch that's been buried and there's sort of a mound. And it would seem like at some point in time, those two items should be taken care of.
Excellent. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any response to that?
Thank you, sir. I've noted that information and I'll actually be contacting our community service department to advise. I don't at the moment, but I...
These sides of the beam kind of close to where it drops down into the gully. It's not visible unless you get right to the gully. That's that gully towards the east, almost to the north boundary.
Gully east to the north boundary?
All
right. Thank you very much for bringing that to our attention.
I'd like to request that those items are minuted. Thank you. Okay. Thanks. Anything else? No? Okay.
Before we vote or make a motion, I just had one comment, and this just had to do with the staging area and the appropriate noise mitigation for the staging area, in as much as that it looks like that staging area will be active for up to 5 months. And I know the plan is in place to make sure that there's not active roosting sites there, but just the possible noise of all the rolling in and rolling out over a five-month period, just don't know what cumulative effect that might have in the area. And I know you have a plan to work with all of the contractors to make sure that they're sensitized to that issue.
Madam Chair, Commissioner Sheeler, we will be addressing that, and there will actually be a compliance meeting with all of the contractors prior to work occurring.
I'd like to disclose that I did have a site visit with staff as well as Planning Commissioner Schuler today. So I just want to point that
Thank
out.
Thank you. Any other ex parte communications or site visits to report?
Yes.
Thank you. Site visit this morning.
I've been on the site many times.
As have I. Thank you.
And real quick, just for clarification, the applicant is the city, and so therefore it's the city council that presents this or has given the approval and the direction to move forward with permit processing of this project.
Comments, please.
Please. Well, it may... I'm pretty sure you noticed that I didn't have any questions. There are a couple of reasons for that. The first one is, you know, our city's been working on this for a long, long time. And as you can see from the documents in our report, work was before and then particularly after the Comstock land swap when it was going to be our property. Much work was done. So I learned a lot then. And the second reason, though, I really want to stress is because I think we've got an excellent packet in front of us. The report is succinct, yet raises and addresses the major issues. And just in case we were a little more curious than a staff report should present, we have all the documents showing kind of the history of this as well as what has been learned from all of the study. And I want to say one thing that I am particularly pleased with is, although this project appears to be CEQA exempt, that has not stopped our city from enormous environmental work. And that work was totally refreshed for this project. Thank you. So I'm obviously very happy. Thank you very much, staff. And I think this is one of those things that represents a real progress marker for our city, something that's been planned for a long time. And I'm very happy that staff has worked with others and that this is a city project going forward for our community.
Thank you, Commissioner Wallace. Other comments?
I was really pleased to see all the thought that has been put into this project, and I think it is very important for our community. Also, the one thing that I also liked, and I found this out on our site visit today, was that there will be a real effort put into looking at how to maintain the area, especially with respect to fire prevention and when you get these beautiful areas backing up to residential space, there is always, you have to really look at the impacts and how to address them. And I think that that's great. So, thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner Stapleman. Anything else? No?
I guess I'll just chime in one more time. Chair, thank you. You know, I felt the same way that Commissioner Wallace felt when I was reading this, and I just thought maybe it was me. But now I've heard it. It's two of us.
I think it's more than that.
I appreciate that you've concurred, or I'm glad to concur with you, Commissioner. So thank you very much, and thank you to the staff. It really, I guess I enjoyed reading it as well. So because of the history involved, thank you.
It is an excellent project, and it's such good news. So thank you all very much, and I think I'll request a motion to approve both of the resolutions.
Madam Chair, I'll be happy to make the motions. Do you want them one at a time, or would it be sufficient to ask the clerk to read
Madam Clerk, would you read the resolutions into the record?
And that, of course, will be my motion regarding the resolutions.
Thank you. Item B1, item 1 is recommendation to adopt Planning Commission Resolution 11- next in line, entitled A Resolution of the Planning Commission of the City of Goleta, California, approving a notice of exemption for the Elwood Mesa Well Abandonment Project, case number 10-047-DP. APNs 079-210-013-014-015-024-050-051.
I will move that recommendation.
I second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Motion passes 5-0. Thank you all very, very much, and thanks to our consultant. Excellent job.
One more motion. That was the CEQA exemption.
Item public hearing item B1-2 is recommendation to adopt Planning Commission Resolution 11- next in line, entitled A Resolution of the Planning Commission of the City of Goleta, California, approving a development plan for the Elwood Mesa Well Abandonment Project. Case number 10-047-DP, APNs 079-210-013-015-024-050-051. 13-014-015-024-050-051.
Chair Solomon, if I might just clarify that the resolutions are set up referencing the work plan and the restoration plan that are separate attachments. I just wanted to point out that that your motion assumes that they're attached in full. We were just saving trees.
I will move the resolution dealing with the development plan forward.
A second?
I second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Passes 5-0. Thank you. And now for the director's report.
Well, good evening and thank you. I want to take this opportunity maybe to do a little bit of an advertisement. Ms. Wells, at the beginning of the presentation, indicated that conservation programs are housed within her section, advanced planning, and Mr. Nemechek, a good portion of his efforts are indeed dedicated to the Elwood Mesa. There's also Lake Los Caneros out there and other properties that they're engaged with. But just as it relates to the Elwood Mesa in particular, sort of to give you sort of a encapsulated feel, and recognizing that there's many people associated with the city that are involved with this, we have a trail connections program. We have a grassland restoration program. We have, as one commissioner indicated, a fire hazard mitigation plan that's under preparation at this time. You have seen the wells abandonment program this evening. You're very familiar with the butterfly docent program that's out there and the active and ongoing efforts in those regards. But there's also, from a public safety standpoint, a bluffs enforcement program that goes on. And we make certain that our signs and our trails, actually that we're able to hang on to our signs, and that they're periodically replaced, and that our trails are in a natural state but also in a safe condition. I wanted to talk specifically to some things that are happening going on in the background. A few weeks ago when I addressed you, I told you at that point in time there's some projects that will be coming forward to you. The list currently, at least for the first quarter of this calendar year, will have Fairview Commercial Center. This is the piece of property across from McDonald's. The Rodriguez Road Materials, we hope. The Islamic Center facility, we hope. Willow Springs 2. The Mariposa Assisted Living Facility out in Elwood. And the Venico Pipeline 96 project. I want you to also know that while that work is going on, we're also continuing work to bring forward and bring back the new project for the Marriott Hotel. Also in the background, there's work being done on the West Star mixed-use project, which you saw along with the Design Review Board in concept. Bishop Ranch you won't see because that's fortifying an application, if you will. That'll be going to the City Council at some point, I suspect in the spring time frame. The Shelby Trust project up off of Cathedral Oaks we're working on in the background. The Kenwood Village residential project we're working on in the background, and the Village at Los Caneros project. And this time, not just a phase, but the entirety of those properties we're working on in the background. While we're doing that, Ms. Wells and her team is also preparing the annual report of the general plan, which will come forward to the commission and then to City Council. And we're also working on putting together, if you will, the long overdue infrastructure for our department with web-based automated permit tracking, digital imaging, and records management system, such that not only we as a group of planners, but the public and applicants and interested parties can access information for a variety of planning purposes at any one point in time. I want to complete with just a brief listing of a number of items that are going on that are outside of the planning sphere, but I think something you'd be interested in knowing about. And these are items that will be coming forward to the City Council in the first and the second quarter of this calendar year. The Council is committed to joint meetings with the school boards, and those indeed are actively being planned. There is a feasibility analysis for police services, looking at the costing of police services. That'll be going forward, at least the authorization to do so. There's the urban forest management plan, which we hope to have adopted by the springtime. The development impact fees, the traffic fees, et cetera, those require periodic updates in accordance with the state law. That fee program is underway and will be coming forward to the council. A solid waste franchise agreement, which you've read about in the newspapers, will be coming forward at some point in the first half of this year. There are design services contract for the council chambers here, and improvements to the council chambers and the creation of a real dais that will be coming forward. The roof out at the library is being worked on this past weekend, as a matter of fact, with both city staff and the contractor there. The annual community development block grant funding allocations and how we utilize those federal dollars for a variety of revitalization efforts across the city will be coming forward, along with some Goleta Prepare Now emergency preparedness grant programs. The strategic plan for the city, the capital improvement plan of public works, budget workshops, user fees, and a whole variety of other things that really create the architecture for how a city operates on a day-to-day business are also actively being worked on at this point in time. So we're busy. We got a lot of things coming forward, a lot of exciting things to come. And with that, thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chasen. And I think it's invaluable for you to bring these things to our attention and to the attention of the public. And I know that there are even more things going on than those that you brought to us. You're busy, indeed.
Madam Chair, quick question for Mr. Chase, please.
Chair.
Thank you. Mr. Chase, you mentioned what was going on in the Elwood Bluffs area. I'm interested in knowing if there's any involvement with the UCSB. And if so, just briefly, you know, what that might be.
I'm going to turn this to Ms. Wells, who coordinates those efforts and has quite a bit of involvement with UCSB.
Don't need 10 minutes.
Oh, just that's good. So I meet quarterly with the university and the county as part of the original joint review panel that founded the Elwood Devereaux Coast Habitat Management Plan. And so we coordinate at least quarterly, if not more frequently, on the programs. So we try to do things together. So signage, et cetera, are sort of somewhat consistent. And as a matter of fact, just before I came into this hearing, I was going back and forth with emails with UCSB for Elwood Mesa to remove the barbed wire that's been accumulating out there. They have grant funding, and so it's a team effort. So it's a constant ongoing thing where we're assisting each other in getting different grants and coordinating programs, especially where the trails intersect the jurisdictional boundaries. So, yes, it's a big part of what we do and part of our regional planning effort. So,
thank you. Mm-hmm.
Any other comments from planning commissioners? Commissioner Sheeler, Vice Chair Sheeler, I should say.
Thank you, Chair Salmon. Just one comment. I just wanted to appreciate the fact that the Design Review Board, our telecasts are now available on Channel 19 and also on the City of Goleta's website. It's been very beneficial for me to be able to view that.
Thank you. Well, if the hearing no other comments, I'll adjourn the meeting. Good night. Thank you.
How much do I love you?